I believe that some of the brightest thinkers in our histories have been people who've been able to simplify, but by saying less, the profundity of what they're saying is there. And when you do go down the rabbit hole, you see that that information holds true even in more complex ways. It's almost like the game Guitar Hero, you know, like you can play a song in easy mode and it works. But then when you click the expert mode and you're like, whoa, there's so much more going on when you magnify in a little deeper, there's a lot more notes and things going on than the beginner can even realize.
How do you pronounce your last name? I never make fun of people who mispronounce words because I've seen your writing on Twitter a bunch of times. I have a way I say it in my head, but that's because I'm an audio person. So when I read it, I've got to have a corresponding thing, but I'm guessing it's wrong.
So it's commonly, and I accept it, it's been commonly Londano for a very long time. My family, my father in Spanish, it's pronounced Londoño, which is of Colombian descent, but I've gone with Londano for a very long time, being born and raised in America, you know, so I go with either.
I love it, man. Well, hey, thanks for connecting. Every once in a while, I just like look for smart people to talk to that maybe I've interacted with before about topics I haven't talked about. And you're somebody, I don't remember the first time I clicked on something or read something you wrote, and that's cool. Because that's really what branding is. It's like, oh yeah, when I see that picture or that name or that logo, it's like, I'll spend a couple seconds on this. But I think I threw out like the, hey, what could you talk about for an hour with no prompting? And you had said something. I don't even remember what your response was, but I was like, sold. I'm like, let's do that. What do you remember what you actually said or how you responded or what you said?
Yeah, sedentary lifestyle is something that I'm so passionate about. I can rant forever. So when I saw that call to action, I was actually really intrigued about being able to speak about that, especially somebody with your background, both in radio and being able to have a high level conversation, but then also in the health world as well, where you understand a lot of the symptoms that I believe are from sedentary lifestyle.
So why is it, it's got to be personal, right? So how'd you get, why is this a thing? Why is this a bone to pick? Drives AJ?
So my entire life, my family have medical ties. My mom is a surgeon. My sister is a physician's assistant. My whole life was set in front of me on autopilot. I was supposed to go to medical school. I was a pretty good student. I was a nerd. I was really good at getting good grades. And then the rest of my time, I was fanning out on anime and video games, and I technically was an athlete. I played soccer and I did wrestling, and I really enjoyed it. But honestly, the only time I was ever active was either practice or competition. And then I go right back to video games and anime and manga and all this, the world of sedentary lifestyle. And I was a fan of Joe Rogan. I was a fan of martial arts. I happened to be in class with a fighter who was a current fighter of the UFC, and he told me about this gym. Long story short, I'm in the gym with these people, moving my body. It showed me this community of people that were doing the thing that I was a fan of in anime, in video games, and it was cool. I felt like I was part of this really cool community. From there, being a fan of Joe Rogan got me onto Onnit, this company that was teaching the things. I was a personal trainer. I already decided, hey, I'm gonna do this movement thing. I was a strength and conditioning coach at an MMA gym. And then going to Onnit and learning from that infrastructure, the other pattern disrupt, the level 2 pattern disrupt was, oh, just because I'm not a fighter doesn't mean I'm not the hero of my own story. Sure. My body, my own personal vehicle, can be my heroic character in the video game. I can build myself up. I'm not a martial artist, but I have a movement practice, which to me is a modernized martial art where you are your own opponent. And every time you get into your practice, you're improving yourself and you're getting your character making progress along the path of mastery or just whatever the path may be for you, it'll be different for everyone. But if you have a way to realize and that there is a path in front of you that you are following, then you're ahead of the game and you find purpose in life and you're content. So yeah, it is personal. I was sedentary for the majority of my life. Even as a personal trainer, I was super sedentary doing unhealthy things. Meeting coaches at Onnit and being able to talk to people who were doing the things themselves and then having a pragmatic way to put it into practice. And I was already a coach teaching people other things. And now my business has been waking people up from this sedentary lifestyle that they're in and creating a journey for themselves along their lives to see the hero in their story. And for most people, the villain of their story is sedentary lifestyle. They don't even realize it. They're creating these prisons that they're stuck in. Their environments are due to a chain of reactions and events in their life that they've tripped up and over. And then all of a sudden, you're this person you don't want to be, living this life you don't want to live. And you feel like you're hopeless. But when you play a new video game, there's a tutorial system. There's a guidebook that they lean you towards success. So we need that for the human experience. You know, we need to teach people how the body works, why breathing is important, how to stand, how to sit, how to walk, how to jog, how to jump. For the most part, being from the fitness world, I think that industry is broken. I think it's it's a band-aid that we're putting on top of sedentary lifestyle, but 1 hour of whatever you do, it doesn't matter what you label it, is not going to fix of all the other stuff you're doing the other hours throughout the day. So there's got to be something better. And for us, you know, Elevate Movement, our business, ELVT, is a systematic framework to teach people that the way you breathe, move, and feel are all connected. If you influence one, you're changing all three. And if you focus on elevating one of those, you're elevating your entire experience. And when you do it with a community, with a collective, you're elevating reality for everyone, not just yourself, you know? So,
and I like the parallels that you had, which is, I didn't know any of that story, right? And we didn't necessarily prepare, but I like asking, there's a reason, because there's a straight line between any two points, right? Why is AJ here? Right? Why does he care about this? Right? He's made this his life. Right? And I like the fact that it's your story, and now you're able to help others because you're like, I understood the two dots I connected. So it's easier for you to now say, okay, I don't know what your first dot is, whatever that is, doesn't matter where it is. The second dot is the opposite or fighting the sedentary lifestyle. Great. Whatever your other dot is, we can figure that out. I also like how you use the word journey a lot. I can't make you do one pull-up. I can't make you change one meal in your day. What I can do is, and I stole this from my favorite Peloton instructor, one of my favorite Peloton instructors. I don't want to make them get cocky or anything, but Dennis Morton, I make suggestions, you make decisions. He's like, you got on the bike today, and that's cool. Now I'm going to tell you what I'm doing, and I'm going to make suggestions, but this is recorded or this is live and you're somewhere else. And he's like, I can't. You know, you're here already. The horse has been led to water, but I can't make you drink. So you do those things. So
yeah. I love that. I love that as well. And I believe that there's a lot of things out there that are great, that there are these systems that put you in a box and make you feel comfortable in there. But a lot of the work is done for you. And the coaching cue that you just suggested, which I love, is a different one where you're empowering the person to discover that for themselves, you know, you can lead them, but you want them to discover those things on their own, which is 100% how we teach people to approach their own movement practices as well. Is like, we're giving you a map, a flashlight, and a kick in the butt, and encourage you to explore your own movement practice, your own breathing, and your own capabilities. You know, a big thing we tell people constantly is you are capable of so much more than you think, you know, like it's funny to go to like Cirque du Soleil or some kind of these events that have these feats of strength. and you see a bunch of people eating popcorn and clapping, they don't even realize the difficulty or the mastery, how many hours went into doing that thing. And then when you empower someone to start that journey on their own, all of a sudden there's this next level of understanding and reverence for what we are as an animal. You know, it reminds you like, hey, the human creature is an animal, and getting yourself back to nature is a big part of what we do with our business, because a big part of our business is realizing the problem is we're the most dissociated version of the human creature than ever before. We're under artificial light, eating our artificial food, ingesting artificial media. We're wearing shoes that are disconnecting us from the earth underneath us. We're forgetting how to walk properly. The human animal is, because of sedentary lifestyle, our posture is the worst it's ever been. The breathing is the worst it's ever been. And locomotion, we're forgetting how to locomote like a natural bipedal. Bipedal already isn't really natural. We started as a quadrupedal animal, but there's just a lot of things that are leaning us away from natural movement, which is an unnatural thing. And then we feel there's a reason why we feel like we don't belong where we are right now, you know?
Yeah. I mean, throw on top of that, 5 days of 8 hours at a desk or doing something and repetition and all those things. I don't know what the answer is, but it's doing more of the thing that, you know, I mean, if you wanted to break it down, it's move more, eat better, sleep more, drink some stuff, water, or what, you know, as few things as we want to add to that as possible. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, 100%.
So one of the things that you have talked about is that if you're going to fix, we'll call it physical stagnation and emotional stagnation, right? Mind and body. That's all you are, right? You're the mind and body until one of those things quits, and then the other one has to quit, right? We're mind and body, right? For lesser, for better, for worse. If we're going to work on our physical, if you had to pick one to work on first, would it be physical to help emotional or mental, or would it be the other way around? I don't know if there's a right answer. I'm not trying to trap AJ, but I would go physical first personally, because I think one helps always helps the other. I think the direction, it's two-way street, right? But if I had to fix one, would I say work mentally to then feel better physically? I would do physical, because for me, when I'm moving, I'm still thinking. And when I'm done, I've never been like, I shouldn't have done that. Unless I hurt myself that day. But most of the time it's like, yeah, no, that felt better. So I feel like by lifting the physical one, I get both. That's not to say that you only need to do that one thing, but when I start rambling like that, because that was a question and then I stopped and rambled. If you work in outpatient PT, you interact with your EMR a lot. You deserve to have an experience that's seamless and integrates all the things you might need to do, like a patient portal, marketing automations, and billing, all in one, all at an unbeatable value. That's what MW Therapy does. Switching over is a breeze. Take a test drive right now and see what you could do with them at mwtherapy.com. Now, where's your PT career license taking you? Get a driver's license. You can drive wherever you want. If you're a physical therapist with a license, you can provide physical therapy wherever you want. That's what Jackson Therapy Partners is there to do. Extraordinary patient care adventures with Jackson Therapy Partners. Perfect for PTs eager to make their mark. Do what you want to do, where you want to do it. See where your skills can take you at jacksontherapy.com. And if you've heard about this thing, we've had it on the show before. It's called remote therapeutic monitoring. And it could boost your clinic's revenue and help more people. Those two things are good. Find out how Physiotech can help you do that. That is Physiotech at their website, physiotech.ca. That's physiotech.ca. Maybe boost your revenues, your clinic's revenue by $290 per patient per quarter now with Physiotech.
I love it. I love where your mind is at. You're ahead of the game. My answer is the way I teach our framework, Elevate, is first through an idea. Elevate is a four-phase systematic approach to movement or breath work, what have you. Explore, load, vanquish, and tune.
Okay.
And when you're focusing on breath work or movement, I like to start with breath work because it's the easiest way to prove the system works. Like a scientist, you have a problem that creates a hypothesis, you have an experiment that has an end result, and then you're able to process that end result to come up with a conclusion that sets you up for success on the next experiment. So breathing is the easiest way to prove this system. We call it a proof, you know? So if I have you focus on your breath, it only takes a couple to make a tangible impact on the way your heart is beating, the way your blood is circulating, the way you feel. It only takes like 6 breaths. That's scientifically proven. Then from there, another physical way we love to teach the systematic approach of Elevate is through balance, because if I put a human on 1 foot, or if you're on all 4, if I put you on 2 limbs from a quadrupedal position, you're forcing the brain to have to create a whole bunch of neural firings to figure out, whoa, what's happening? We're falling off center line. And then your brain has to problem solve to keep your body in balance. And when you do that and you connect breath, you're proving the system twofold. So all of a sudden your body's like, whoa, there's value to this. I'm actually moving better. I'm breathing better. And then if I can prove those lessons in how you're breathing and how you're moving, automatically through repetition, something that we've been teaching humans for hundreds of years, one of my favorite samurais from my sedentary fandom and anime stuff is Miyamoto Musashi. How you do one thing is how you do all things. Once you find the way broadly, you start seeing it in everything. The whole point is once you become a black belt, you see the fundamental way that you found proficiency, and then you start doing that in other ways. So if we can influence how you breathe and then show you how that will influence the way you move, then all of a sudden you're more likely to put those same lessons into practice for mental tasks, for time management, for problem solving, for elevating not only the way you move, but elevating the way you communicate with yourself and with others around you. So yeah, I do believe it starts with breath work first and then movement. And then that starts to influence how you do everything else.
So what were the 4 phases again? 3rd was vanquish, because you had me until vanquish. And I'm like, I don't know. I want to know where that goes.
Yeah. So thanks for asking, man. So yeah, the first phase is explore, meaning you're exploring a new idea. It can be this conversation, you know, getting to know my name, getting to know my background. That's our explore phase. Load phase is where you're loading deeper and deeper into each of those concepts. And that's where you spend most of the time in an Elevate session. You're loading deeper into whatever rabbit hole you want to see how far you can go. And you'll do that constantly and constantly until that final round. Your vanquish phase is like the climactic scene in the action movie, or it's the boss scene in the video game. Whatever pathway you chose to load upon, your vanquish level is your final level that's proving to yourself and to this experiment that you've loaded deep, deep, deep down into these concepts to the point where you have an understanding and proficiency, where you understand you've gone to the edge of this practice, of this conversation, of whatever is focalized using this structure. At the end of that phase, a few things can vanquish. Either your preconceived notions, your previous limitations that you have vanquished and you've overcome, or the experiment itself vanquished you. You know, you got tired and maybe you didn't reach the yield or the end results that you thought you were going to. But something gets vanquished at the end. And then from that phase, your vanquished phase, you go to your tune phase, the T phase. And like a supercomputer, your brain needs time and space to process all of the data that came in, whether it be a conversation, whether it be a new skill, an exercise, whatever it is that's in focus for this Elevate session, your brain needs the time and space to process the information. And like Bruce Lee said in martial arts, you absorb what is useful, you discard what is not, and you make it uniquely your own. So once you go through that, you've explored, you've loaded, you've vanquished, and you went through that tune phase, you are now an elevated version of the human that you were walking into it, able to be more likely for success the next time you go through that process. And if you start the process with how you breathe, it'll affect the way you move, which will affect the way you feel. And you start putting some of these lessons into practice in how you do everything. And it's really special. It's something that changed my life and has made me extremely passionate about it. And the more clientele I meet in different aspects, the way we've put this into practice as a business in multiple different ways, we do a retreat to the jungle where we take people from all over the country to the most remote place and put these things into practice as a community for 5 or 6 days. Or yeah. It's one-on-one training with clients that I'm working with. A lot of people who are in their later 40s and 50s and 60s. They're wealthy, they're affluent, but they're not happy. They don't have purpose. And when we start tackling these symptoms of sedentary lifestyle, we're teaching people you can elevate the way you breathe, move, and feel. The reason we came to those realizations is because of the opposite end of the spectrum, not moving your body, not breathing mindfully, and being disconnected in all those ways we were talking about makes you feel, number one, lost, number two, a little unsure about what to do, and then number three, it kind of disconnects you from not only yourself, but then from other people, and then you don't know how to fix it, and you're looking for all these external factors. And a lot of people won't realize, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side, but I'm dealing with some people who could spend money wherever they want, and they have, and nothing is fixing these problems. But then when you talk about these things that are low to no cost that could solve these things, when you start with yourself and your breath work and your movement practice and how you sit and how your posture affects your mental health and your physical well-being, I mean, it's profound. And we found that. So now it's about getting the message out there and having people such as yourself out there getting this message out to the people who yeah. may hear this as a call to action and want to start doing an impactful change for their own life.
I think it's funny because the people that I talk with are typically healthcare providers. So we love, as a society, to take an idea and then to make it as complicated as possible to understand. And I think that is from our own psychology. I don't think most of the time it's on purpose. I think we're like, I can't wait to show you how smart I am in a good way. It's not to brag. It's to be like, I can't wait to show you this. And I need to put, and I know this is possible because I do it. I've done it. Which is, I can't wait to tell you the 7 different parts of the brain that are involved in this. When in reality, the smartest coaches, the best healthcare providers, the guides that lead the most people are the simplifiers. And sometimes things can be simplified too much, right? But it's that mix where people will say, like, dumb it down. And I'm like, I said simplify, not dumb it down. Or go into detail. And some people will say overcomplicate it. I'm like, no. So there's a middle of doing it one, it's not one way or the other, right? So some healthcare providers might be like, well, I need to make this feel as medical as possible because I have a degree. Or some people will be like, well, just do these basic things and I'm telling you it's going to cure yourself. And I don't think either of those are right. I think it's whenever I've watched the best clinical instructors or PTs or coaches or anything, I'm thinking back to like sports coaches or trainers or anything. It really is the people who are able to communicate they did what Bruce Lee said, which is they figured it out. They figured out, they took in everything, discarded what they didn't, kept what they thought was most useful, and then put their own spin on it. And the spin was able to make it understood, not to make yourself appear as if you know more than you do, or that you're selling something that does not actually exist, right? So I think it really is this. I mean, we could do this 1,000 different ways. You could put a different 4-step template on, or say for a bunch of different ways. I don't, and the, if, I mean, I went through this in my own career where it was like, well, is acupuncture good? And when I was a student in school, I'd be like, no, it's not. Then I learned from people who were to be like, if someone asked me, is acupuncture good? I'd be like, did you try it? And they're like, yes. And I'm like, did you feel good? And they're like, yes. And I'm like, then it was good for you. I can't point to why it was bad. Like, unless someone is like actively selling something that we can point to and be like, there's the bad. So is like, you know, are some of these practices, because I know people in healthcare, like breath work, we're all breathing, which means you're selling it. And it's, I can't believe you're selling breathing. And it's like, well, if you went to a mental health provider with a degree and they sold mindfulness, or, you know, do you ever see this thing where it's like, we teach kids this game? It's like, you move your hand over your fingers and I want you to inhale when you're on the way up and exhale on the way down. And when you do that, I'm like, there's breath work, but it doesn't sound medical enough because I have to have to do it. Or are we oversimplifying it where it's like, I sell breath work? I'm like, I think there's more to it than that. I actually think the answer is somewhere in more likely. This is where I play it safe. The answer is in the middle. In healthcare, we love to say everything. It depends. That's our way of copping and being like, I'm leaving myself an out. How do people react to this? I mean, how, like, tell me like a story that made you feel good about this with someone that you led through this and now they're an elevated version of themselves, whatever that means.
Thank you so much for asking. I really love your questions, man. You're very astute, and I couldn't agree with you more on all of the sentiments. I believe that some of the brightest thinkers in our histories have been people who've been able to simplify, but by saying less, the profundity of what they're saying is there. Yeah. And when you do go down the rabbit hole, you see that that information holds true even in more complex ways. It's almost like the game Guitar Hero, you know, like you can play a song in easy mode and it works. But then when you click the expert mode and you're like, whoa, there's so much more going on when you magnify in a little deeper, there's a lot more notes and things going on than the beginner can even realize. So a story about what makes me feel good about this is I was already a personal trainer who had a very busy book, who was doing very well as a coach, who whatever conventional stereotype you would think of that business, I fit that description. You know, I had a pretty busy work week. I did pretty well. I had a lot of free time on my hands because of it. Finding out that I was the hero of my own story and I wasn't putting that into practice and I wasn't skill building and I wasn't Miyamoto Musashi who found the way broadly and put it into all things. I figured that out at like year 4 or 5 of my career. So I started building my own human character from square one. And then very quickly, I tried figuring out how do I use my business and my skill set, leading one-on-one, small group, and large group classes. How do I turn that business into what I'm doing right now and discovering for myself? I lost a lot of clients on the way at first because I was on the journey of figuring it out for myself. And something my master coach, John Wolf, who actually started the education system behind Onnit, the company that Joe Rogan and Aubrey Marcus did, him and my other master coach, Shane Hines, they created this education system that was all about empowering the human to figure it out on their own practice. They gave us an infrastructure to figure it out for ourselves. And I started doing that at like year 2 or 3, I changed my group classes from what they used to be, which was just what you thought of the large, you know, scale boot camp classes out there. I did a bunch of that. I changed it to teaching people how to move in complex ways, like complex movement puzzles, how to use balance, how to use breath work, how to use the ability to learn a language. Let's apply that to a steel mace. Like right behind me, I have steel maces over there. Or that right there is a balance board. So if you can learn a language by learning individual letters, then putting them together to create words, if you work on it enough, you can become Shakespeare, you know? So all of a sudden, it started having traction. I met my partner who took one of my classes. She's never used kettlebells before, had never been in a hot yoga room before, and I was teaching kettlebells and ground-based movement in a hot room, and it blew her mind. And then she, my partner, just a quick origin story on her is she's an incredible mover. She grew up barefoot in the mountains in Vermont. Couldn't be more opposite than me. I was born almost always in shoes, playing video games, reading, eating artificial food. This girl was barefoot, dissecting animals, climbing trees, and like eating healthy everything her whole life. So I met someone who was at the end of the spectrum that I was trying to find on my own. And by me being on one end and her being on the other, we were able to meet in the middle. And quickly she became my business partner, and I got co-op mode in my life of figuring out how this breath work and movement and all this stuff fits together. And then the switch was some clients who decided to stay on board and go from, I want to lift this much, or I want to run this fast, or I want to lose this much weight, starting to put into practice weight. I can learn how to move in different ways. And then my body is capable of all these incredible things. And then if each movement system is like a language that I'm becoming proficient at, technically I'm a polyglot. Like I have all right. these ways to express myself, and I have some walking billboards that are walking around, and it's changed their life. And it's been an added mission to their lives to help us spread the word, you know, like with some of my clientele's advice, we've written a book for people who've experienced what we do. We've done this retreat to the Dominican Republic that's been really successful the last few years, but like you're suggesting, it's out there. It's very different. And if people don't find this for whichever reason that they're just ready for this, if they're not led to this semi-organically, sometimes it does feel like you're trying to do something a little outside of your comfort zone, and the receptiveness is not really there. But when everything in your life is telling you that it's not okay and you feel like there's nothing to do, I mean, sometimes this is the last resort. It's like, all right, this person's telling me that if I breathe a little different, if I move my body, if I hold my body in a different way, and I start paying attention to my practice, that'll change my life. Sometimes, you know, we're their last resort, but then we're happy that you found us.
I went through this weird spectrum where I was probably the person who looked at, I mean, I remember like going through PT school, and I don't know if CrossFit, it had been around, it wasn't new or anything, but I remember thinking, well, I'm in PT school, which is this formal medical-based, right? Like school, like this is, I'm going to figure out what's good and bad here. I'm going to figure out what's black and white. I'm going to figure out how to give my opinion on these things and be science informed and be right. And then I looked and I was like, so then I would have said, CrossFit's bad for you. And I can show you why. And now I would say, if CrossFit might be good for you, and the one way to figure that out is, I'm like, go play around in it, man. And I used to do the same thing with even my own sort of sports. It's like, I'm like a joiner, and also I'm sort of like 100% in, or I'm 100% out, where like, I was like, I didn't just like sort of mess around with like triathlons. I was like, I'm doing this and I'm going to do an Ironman. It was like, if we're doing this, we're going all the way. And I think my pendulum has swung back to the middle more, where I'm just like, hey, you want to do like a whatever? I'm like, yeah, let's just mess around for the next couple months. Because, and I don't want to talk badly about myself, I'm probably not going to the Olympics anytime. I'm 44 years old. Probably not. But success for me is not me going to the Olympics. Success for me now is actually, I moved back to my hometown after a billion years of being away. And now I play beer league hockey with like dudes that I've known since high school and my brother. And that to me is success. Cause I'm like, the other night I played two games in a row and felt great at the end of the second game, third period. And I was like, that to me wouldn't have felt meaningful 10 years ago. I would have needed to like had a medal around my neck and been finishing a 12-hour race. And I've just changed what was meaningful. So now I work out differently in my basement. And I, you know, I do a similar workout, and then every once in a while I'm like, I'm bored, I'm just going to do something different. And I think if we approach it more like, I mean, kids are the answer, right? Kids screw around and find out. And I don't know what age that is. If it's 16, 18, 25, we lose that where we're not willing to just try stuff.
100%. 100%. And I think play and the fact that it is known to children and somehow we lose it at some point, you're nailing it on the head. And cognitive reframing is what we're talking about, which is this huge buzzword in the psychology world. And by being able to reframe your idea of what is a workout or what is a bonding moment with a loved one or what is burning calories or, you know, by looking at it differently, this one experience is able to check so many boxes for you in the realm of doing healthy things and just having a healthy lifestyle, meaning, purpose. You use the word meaning, you know, those moments are, you can't put a price on those. So how do we tailor make our lives to have as many of those moments as possible? And fitness isn't the answer, right? Like a workout is not going to be that.
Yeah. Right. But that's the way to get it into your daily schedule is, well, I'm talking to AJ at 1 o'clock and then I've got an hour. So I'm going to go quick. And this is not a knock on Peloton. I actually like riding the bike, but it's like, I got to bang out. I got to do 45. Why? Because it's on my schedule. Whereas I'd rather just be like, I have a room in my house where I get to sort of play around in. And then whatever I'm playing around in today is what I'm doing today. To the point when I don't work out for 2 days, I get like, I've told people I get like itchy. I'm like, I don't know what it is, but I don't like it. Like, oh, do you need to go work out? I'm like, or just run up and down this, like throw a Frisbee or shoot a hoop. Not good at hoops, but like I'll run around and get sweaty. I just moved a pile of wood in my backyard and I was like, oh, I still need to work out today. I was like, well, this was kind of cool too. Like I don't know. I just approached it like, let's see how fast I can move this pile of wood because it's going to rain tomorrow and I need it to be undercover. But also like, it was kind of cool getting sweaty to do those things.
Yeah,
but you wouldn't prescribe that. Like, you know what I mean? Like a healthcare professional wouldn't be like, well, I actually think PTs and OTs are very good at that because they're like, everything's function based where they're like, no, that's good. It's bending, twisting, lifting, moving with wheelbarrow. I think we're better off. I think that's more of the middle ground of like, because that's sustainable, right? We haven't used that word yet too, which is, it's got to be like, I got to want to do it. Again, I make suggestions, but you make decisions. If I always look at the decision as sucky, I'm going to make that decision less. I'm going to be sedentary more. And if that's the villain, maybe you don't have to kill the villain. You just got to do the thing that it isn't. Like, how do you kill sedentary lifestyle? You don't. You just move more.
Yeah, I have to make a shout out to a book that my partner Georgie told us to read on our recent trip to the DR. That's about building your story brand and how.
Oh, it's Donald Miller.
Yeah, there you go. So I was blown away by it. So for us, the villain is definitely sedentary lifestyle, and the character, the hero of the story, is the customer that finds the fact that this even exists, right? And the guide for us is that systematic approach. It's ELVT, that framework that if we give you a framework that you can prove in breathing and moving, you're going to start using that in other aspects of the life. And for us, yes, like unfortunately, you have to experience Elevate in person. And then we start discovering in your own body. I look at us like a F1 pit stop where you think your vehicle can do one thing. And then all of a sudden these balance games and these movement puzzles are all gamified approaches to allowing you to unravel these different parts of yourself one by one in a non-scary way. If you're with an Elevate coach, then someone's holding your hand through these lessons, telling you it's okay. Actually, a lot of these things we're discovering is extremely common. Head and neck pain is extremely common. Bad posture, hip pain, bad instability in our ankles, foot issues, foot pain. All this stuff is so common that's another thing that we've learned in converting our personal training service into life is a game, and most of us are not paying attention to our vehicle, and we haven't earned the DMV lessons to earn our license. So it's teaching people from the ground up, and it's important.
What I've seen a lot too, and this is like, this goes into like, I like how you sort of look at everything as something that's familiar to you, video games, which also have story, right? And then you always, when I play that game, I'm the hero. When you play the game, you're the hero. And like life, you're the hero of your own story, right? So I also find this thing, and it's a word that comes up a lot, which is permission. And I feel like personal trainers, healthcare providers, anybody, we're almost there again as guide to go off of what Donald Miller says, and he's right. When you communicate it as, I'm not the one who does any of this, I'm just the Yoda or the Sherpa or whatever that is, it sort of gives you, you don't need it. It's not to say that I have to be there so you can do this. It's like the person who's coming to you is sort of looking for permission to do those things. And the trick is to give it to them, but also show them that you never needed it from me. You never needed it from me or anybody the whole time. So you're really trying to work yourself out of a job. But if you need to be there next to that person to make them feel whatever, I don't know. It's different for everybody. Safe. Like you're in the right place, you're doing the right things, you're asking the right questions, the things that you're feeling, other people feel too. So you're not this weird anomaly. So good for you for showing up, because most people don't, whatever those things. Eventually the goal is actually to be like, you were the thing all along.
Have you seen the show Westworld?
Oh, love Westworld. Yes.
I mean, it's like the exact same plot. Is they're hearing this voice and they think it's their creator. And at the end of the puzzle, it's them all along. It's that subconscious. So yeah, I 100% agree. And the analogy of a video game works with a lot of people. We've been able to work with kids. Movies work with a lot of other people. And for me, martial arts was a big part of my origin story. And that's a big part of that as well. I mean, even Kung Fu Panda, one of my favorite animated movies, at the end of the magic scroll is a reflection of the panda. And he's like, there is no magic sauce. There is no special sauce in the soup, you know? So we need to be told this and reminded this and be seen and validated, like you're saying, in whatever way it is. For us as movement coaches, we've been able to turn personal training, group classes, and this adventure retreat into different vehicles to show people that life is a movie that they are the hero of. It's a video game. It's whatever you want to think it, but giving people a framework, a systematic approach to figure that out for themselves and then start playing the game, to me has been really powerful in a way that we're finally getting steam and having these kinds of conversations. So
yeah, I appreciate you, man. They're just elements. And without a framework, and this goes to like Donald Miller talking about communicating or selling something. But what healthcare providers or trainers or anybody do is they might sell a product, but it's an experience. And if you can't communicate it clearly, it doesn't have form, and the form doesn't have to be tangible, but it's got to be something, right? It's like, and that's why I think in Miller, it's like there's a hero meets a guide. He's got a problem. The guide gives them a plan. It's easy to follow. Without that plan, which is like, without that plan, there's no good story. And if I can't see where the story might go, I'm never going to take the first step unless I can see what it might look like or kind of look like, which is why, like, in the beginning, it's like, we're taking this ring to Mordor, and that's okay. How do we get there? I don't know, man. We're going to figure a lot of this out, but that way first. And then when we come to the fork in the road, we'll go to the next fork in the road. Where can people go to find out more about Elevate? We'll put it in the show notes, but I wanted to make sure people could go and connect with you.
Yeah, I appreciate you, man. So we have a website, elvt.me, elevate.me. We also have our retreat is adventureretreat.co. So you can find a bunch of information on both of those links. Cool. And yeah, we're really just getting started in putting this ideology out there. And like you said, it doesn't matter what framework you use, but having one is fundamental. And part of our business as Elevate Movement is helping coaches have a framework to put their own practice into perspective, number one, but then to be able to share with their coachees and people they work with, so they're able to be led to success. And in that way, it's able to grow and make actual impact. In martial arts, jiu-jitsu started that way with one family. If you know about martial arts, the Gracie family is famous. And one family of black belts turned into thousands of people worldwide learning from a bunch of different schools that are focusing on different parts of the game. But when you have a fundamental structure and a, right. a place to go off on, you're going to yeah. do the thing mindfully and want to do it better. And then you let it, you become, it becomes your own thing. And then you start teaching that and then that thing yeah. spreads. So yeah, man.
Marcus, you ever see the prophet Marcus Lemonis? He's kind of like, it's like a one man sort of shark tank on MSNBC. He goes into business calls and goes, I got this business. We're not doing well. Come help us. Then he goes there and he sort of like breaks it down. And I hated that he had this three-step whatever. I was like, this just sounds corny. It's got to be more complicated. And he simplifies it, which means it's simple, not easy. Because he's like, business is messy. But he's like, I had to have something I could go into every business and be like, three. So his is people, product, process. And he's like, if you're still in business at all, you probably have two of those. But if you're sort of teetering, he's like, then one of those three things has an issue. And he's like, but now he goes in there and he's like, I sort of know what I'm looking for. He's like, is it the person who's running your every day? That person just is not good. There's a people problem. Is it the product? Like, you got a good idea, but it's not, the audience doesn't care. You're solving a problem that doesn't exist. That's a product problem. That one's hard to overcome. You're solving a problem that doesn't exist. I can't change the world. Or he said, most of the time it's a process problem. And he's like, that's solvable. He's like, cause I just put different people in place or I hire whatever, but that's putting a process to, and that's where the guide comes in. Cause the guide is typically, like, I've done this before. I'm standing here. I did it before. I started from a different spot maybe, and I'm different from you, but we can devise a process that works for you. It's not just, I have every step planned out. This is my, when people overpromise is when I get nervous. Do this and then you will feel perfect. And I'm like, that's too much. That's always and never. I get questionable. You should be really skeptical when someone says always or never. But if you say, yeah. if you follow these steps, you're going to be in a good position. You're going to be closer to your goal than you were now. So I like that. We do something called the parting shot on the show. Did I ever prepare you for that? It doesn't matter if you're prepared for that. Do you know the parting?
It's I don't think so, but I'm ready for it. Let's go.
Parting shot. Let me hit the button. I have a fancy button. Ready?
This is the parting shot.
There we go. All right. Parting shot brought to you by my friends at ATI Physical Therapy. Leading the charge in clinical research with more than 900 clinics achieving top marks in CMS's merit-based incentive program. The team to join for career growth. See what is available now at ATIPT.com. So parting shot is just your last chance for a mic drop moment or whatever. What would you want to leave with the audience?
That you are capable of more than you know possible. The way you breathe, move, and feel are all connected. And when you focus on one, all three elevate. And together, we can elevate humanity by elevating our own realities. If it's not our framework, find it in something else. But you are the hero of your own story.
Yeah, I would just add on to that. It's like people are like, what's the best exercise to do? What's the best sport to play? And I'm like, the one you like and the one you're going to keep doing, because we all know repetition, right? Doing more of the things that are good for you is good for you. So AJ, appreciate you responding to my what can you talk about for an hour? And you're like, sedentary lifestyle. I'm like, great. Teach me about that one. So thanks for doing that, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, man.
All right. They say the best conversations happen at happy hour. Thanks for coming to ours.